tomorrow. But there is a lot of disappointment to a degree right now, and I don't know what to say about it, except he's still in control, and I know that. But I have to be reminded more often than used to. But just good to be here. This is like a second home to Grace and me, and of course knew your pastor a little while before he came here, and so glad when he came. The missions department, always in tip-top shape, snacks to the order. Hershey bars to begin with, and Nutter Butter cookies and coffee and Dr. Pepper. And I see some of y'all didn't eat any breakfast, did you? Getting kind of rough on you right now. Now, here's kind of a strange thing about it. I don't think I had a chance to mention it to you before. I was in Anchor Baptist Church in Salt Lake City maybe 2 years ago. And they had a little apartment there for you. And I went in, and there was Hershey bars, Nutter Butter cookies, Dr. Peppers, and just about everything that I was used to. And I said, I've never run across this duplication before. And I started asking around. There was a Heartland student on that staff. He called Berean Baptist Church. Kind of thought I was in the wrong place for a little while because, I mean, it was right there to the door. So I don't know who passed it on, but could I have other people call you? And then, you know, somewhat of a COVID recovery, however much has happened. It's not all happened. I parked the RV back here, and that was just great. Wasn't it George Beverly Shea that used to talk about the bomb in Gilead? And most of y'all don't know that, do you? But I would just say probably you know that there's a bomb in Berean for Dave Hardy and for my wife and I. We appreciate it so much. And what shall I say more, for the time should fail me of all these things. I kind of thought when I got to that church up there that someone had been plowing with my heifer. You know, isn't that what Samson said? So anyway, I was glad that wasn't true. Okay, let's go to Matthew. That's got to be explained too, or I guess not always. Some of you are laughing about it. Well, that's good. And we could stand. I'm going to read this Christmas story. I love Christmas time. Man, do I hate putting up Christmas trees and taking them down. Ours is always up in the barn. I don't know how many pieces and getting that thing together. But it's Christmas. It's worth it. And the Lord dealt with me a while back. I don't want to get on anybody's turf right now. I might unintentionally. I was driving around and all I could see were Santa Clauses and reindeer and stuff. And I started fussing about it, you know. Just me in the car, so I don't know who else fussing to. But the Lord heard it. And I said, I'm sick and tired of Santa Claus and snow. This is not what it's all about. He said, well, what do you got in your yard? Got just as quiet then as it is right now. I told my woman, now you start looking for some blow molds, woman, because we're going to have a manger scene. And we're going to try to get back to where it ought to be other than this other stuff that we have so very much. But I do love Christmas. Okay, Matthew chapter 2, and of course beginning here in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. I would think it would mean something particular was happening if he was troubled. And then it says, all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, and I would expect that'd be a bunch of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they sent him to him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. I don't know what all was in his mind when he asked for the timing. It seemed like he was thinking ahead about what perimeter chronologically he would have to take out children. And so you know that came out at 2 years or under. So evidently they had traveled or had seen or started traveling. We don't know if they started as soon as they saw that star, but maybe they did. I guess that's not important for us to know. But he's asking about this. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, Father, thank you for the privilege we have to come this day and honor your Son. I guess we can't know all the circumstances nor all the timing about this, but we come here as a church family and brothers and sisters in Christ with thanksgiving in our heart that the greatest gift of all gifts and a gift that every person on earth can have is available to us because of this day. I pray now that you just illumine our hearts and minds to understand Bible truth, which I think most people understand, but that today you would have the proper response from us that you would desire, and maybe that would be a present in some respects. And we ask all this in the most gracious name, and for Christ's sake, amen. And you may be seated. Now, Christmas caused the early Christians to rejoice, not because of better things to come, but for the very fact that Christ had already come. And one of the properties of Christmas, I guess, that we all know about is the element, you know, of surprise. And still out there with children, maybe some even in here, whatever the case, I don't get bent out of shape one way or the other, whether there really is a Santa Claus or whatever. I used to think it'd be good to believe there was, and maybe I wouldn't have to pay for all this stuff, but I decided that probably wasn't going to work. But children are thinking about that, and I love the mystery of getting presents, and we're all trying to find one that the other person would like to have, but we don't know for sure if they'd really want that or not, but it's always good. And adults are still there with it. And I don't know about you, I've always been one of those that wants to pick it up and see how much it weighs and the width and the length, and then I might even move it back and forth or maybe shake it, or I just had the idea in my mind that I would determine what that was before it's my time to come. Well, my wife here a number of years ago, actually it has been, I guess, now like 30 to 40 years ago. And so I was looking at these presents under the tree and I saw mine. And it was, and I think there might have just been one. So it was about a foot either way you looked at it. And I picked it up and it was just as light as a feather. I thought everything that cost very much money, like a gun or something, is heavy. That wasn't what it was. Pastor, I worked on that thing every way. I mean, I tried it, putting it on its corner, on its sides, everything, shaking it. And over the week or two, however long it was, I never could figure it out. But I was really excited to see what was in that box when I couldn't figure it out. So came Christmas Day, and I opened up, and it was a steel ball cap, S-T-I-H-L. I said, okay. I knew it probably wouldn't fit me because I got a 6 7/8 head. It's about the size of a five-year-old boy or six. What am I going to do with a ball cap that's going to come down to my ears like this? So, But, you know, she was pretty smart. She said, well, that just indicates what you're getting. So you got to crawl up in the attic and get it. And I crawled up there, and there was a steel chainsaw, which made me very happy until she said, now you can cut all the firewood we need to be ready for Christmas, and we'll really be into it. So then other people, you know, maybe adults, are looking at the world and the mess that it's in, and this is not really a new sermon by any means, but the mess has sure gotten bigger since the time I was dealing with these notes. And it's just really something that I didn't expect would happen this quick. And it's kind of like our world was not worth being in, and Jesus was trying to tell us there was something better. When you get to think of it, Jesus did come to tell us about another world that does exist, that we know that we're going to go to someday. But you think about the music today, and I appreciate so much. Thank God for music. Amen. What I can't comprehend, and I suppose no one here can, especially the musicians, there's only so many notes. How many songs have been written? And they still write new ones. And some of those are fantastic. Not everything that's out there, but how can you just continue and continue and never exhaust it? God sure knows how to do a lot of things that are a special blessing to me. And I love that so very much. Now, Handel Brown said, ours is an age of a lot of noise and very little light. And there's a major contrast between noise and light. God is not noise. It's a still, small voice. Elijah can tell you about that. But he is light. And I think about that. It's a great text to preach from, isn't it? To talk about light. Everybody here probably has a flashlight. And you know it talks in John chapter 1 how the darkness comprehended it not. Has anybody ever seen a flash dark? I'm going someplace with it. Isn't it neat to know that when you got light, and God is light, darkness got to flee. You can't make something like that in here and push the button and it's dark. But you can go to the darkest place on earth and take a flashlight that has light and hit the button and it'll scatter. And I think about that great truth. Well, secular Christians isn't always a bad thing. I think it's good for people to care about others and want to be generous and maybe bring a little joy to somebody's heart that wouldn't have it some other way. I like the fact that you can have people over and just have a great amount of fellowship, because friendship is a wonderful thing. And I don't think I'll ever get tired of just having long-term friends. But what Jesus began on the bed of hay, he finished on the hard wood of a cross, born in a barn to show what God thinks of human pride and human ambition, human loftiness, and all the things that the world really puts on a high shelf. I think it was also Handel Brown that said, the life of Jesus is bracketed by two impossibilities. A sign that said, for the virgin birth, no entrance, and for the resurrection, no exit. Well, neither one of those worked, because he did come. Because there never had ever been a virgin birth before, but he came, the virgin. Nor had anyone else ever resurrected from the grave before, but he did. And he did make that exit. And think about this as all part, you know, of the picture. When I look into this text, it's easy to see that God speaks the language of all those he needs to. And you think about Acts chapter 2. God knows how to speak anybody's language as far as getting the gospel story across to them. To the shepherds, he sent angels. I mean, Abraham dealt with angels. Jacob dealt with angels. Daniel dealt with angels because they were used that way and God wanted to talk to them that particular way. Now, I've not ever met one of those or whatever. I suppose someday I will. They're amazing creatures. But to the Chaldeans, he sent a star because they were stargazers. And those are amazing too. I remember reading an atheist one time telling a farmer that he's going to tear down everything that God's ever made. And the old farmer said, why don't you start with the stars? Because I noticed they're still there because of the good job that God does to and everything. But we need to respond to God's approach when He does approach us. Nothing would satisfy those wise men but to get to the place they were supposed to go and follow what Christ wanted them to do or God wanted them to do that they did not even know that time. And their journey was not easy. We don't know how far they traveled. I read, but nobody knows exactly. Maybe hundreds of miles, maybe 1,000 miles. People say, how long? We don't know that either. It is very possible that it was 2 years. Now, I know that you're thinking, has it been that long? Just keep in mind that, you know, when we're talking about Matthew, we're talking about Luke, we're talking about a time break. Because in Luke, we're talking about the shepherds as soon as he was born. In this case, we're not. And maybe it was at least maybe 2 years in between that that took place. How would you like to go that far? Traverse deserts, forded rivers, no GPS. I'm in thinking now, Pastor, if the GPS is quit, most people can't read a map, we're going to be in trouble, you know, that comes. Ask questions. As the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Sometimes I guess we have to think about it again when you say there's not anybody that doesn't know there's a God. And there isn't anybody that doesn't know there's a God. They don't know. You say, well, why do we send missionaries? Well, because they need to know who He is. I mean, David wrote the Psalm, and he wrote the 23rd Psalm that we all love and everything like that, but you got to get down to it. You and I see the same thing Esau. And everybody else on there sees the same thing. They know there's a God. They just don't know what to do with Him. Thank God for the missionaries that go and the churches that sent so that they can find out about that. Jeremiah 29:13, maybe these men knew about it, I don't know. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And it'd be good if people would do that. So when they find Him, then they come into the house. So now when you see that, you know we're past what we're looking at before. And inquired about all these things. In verse 11, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto Him gifts. But one gift that they presented Him, as a matter of fact, Barclay said in many countries back in those early years, the only way that you approached a king was gold. And even back at different times in the Old Testament, even like with Saul or whatever, you had to approach him with some kind of a coin or something. But I think there's something we could do. If you would look in 1 Peter verses 1-7, and I thought it'd be good for us to see some of our Bible passages today. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. In verse 7 of Peter chapter 1 says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, he's talking about if we had the faith of a mustard seed, you know, we could move mountains or something like that. And when I think about this text, I think about that God is the master assayer, you know. I guess in the old days when these men would go out and looking to find some gold and they would dig up some and they would take it into the assayer's office. I'm saying it right. Assayer's office, some different way there. And to find out if it was any good, and if it was, they started digging. I've noticed being out in Colorado with different kinds of mines that a third or a half of a mountain has been moved because when they sampled that material, it was worth it. Now what I'm looking at right here is that God's looking at my life and He's looking at your life, and the gold He's looking at is our faith. How much faith we have, that the trial of your faith, because it's going to be tried, being more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm thinking maybe how much God might use me for or use you for may have a lot to do with our faith. And that He tries us, and God is wondering, can I make this much investment? Can I send this man, this woman here? Can I send them there? But when He sees the right kind of faith, all through the book, is without faith it's impossible to please Him. We say, I could never give Him any gold. Oh, yeah, you can. Because in here, one thing, he doesn't care one thing right now for the kind of gold everybody's talking about. He's talking about the kind of gold that you and I have with our faith. Whether we are ready to give that gift. You're thinking, what could I give the Lord? There's one. It's not always easy, is it, for that? Well, not only then, after that he said frankincense. Frankincense is the gift for a priest. According to Exodus chapter 30 and verse 37, this fragrance could only be used by the priest and not for anyone else. Well, I like for people to smell good if that's all possible, you know. I served on a submarine. And by the way, submariners don't social distance. No matter what the president or anybody else said, we're just in there like a bunch of ants. And so it was good if we could have a good fragrance in every now and then. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, if you could find that. Second Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. But if we are saved and know the Lord, a special savor. I don't understand why God cares for us as much as he does. I never will figure that out for me, and I won't decide that for you, but I know me. And I don't know why he would care. And I don't know how he would look at my ability with faith to be more precious than gold or make a comparison, an earthly comparison, or the frankincense that he has here, and then also the myrrh. Well, gold's for the king, frankincense is for the priest, but myrrh is for the one who is to die. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what we can give him? Yes, he's been crucified, and he's not down here anymore. He wants us to give him our life, and that he can still be doing the work that he wants to do. As I think about Christmas, when I was a kid, I thought about this. And I don't know why it took me so long to figure it out. And we didn't have much for Christmas. My dad was a Depression kid. He had to quit school in the third grade. My dad, for the most part, couldn't read. He was a good dad, and I'm thankful, for that. But then he finally got some jobs that weren't too good. He was always faithful and always put food on the table and all those kind of things. But, you know, we really just didn't have very much. But when we had Christmas, I would compare that to people's birthdays. That's what it is it not? Now, every birthday party I ever went to, the person having the birthday got gifts. None of the rest of us did. Well, what's something going wrong in my mind? Whose birthday is it? And then, I guess I was a younger teenager and I began to think about that. I still didn't have any idea what to do with it, to do something for the Lord. Well, I know we have these verses here and we can live the kind of life he wants us to live, and this would be a great gift and I think very pleasing to him. I mean, Scripture says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. And that's true. I'm so thankful to have a godly son and grandsons. When I walk into men's prayer meeting, when I'm home on Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock at Bible Baptist Church, I sit down, there's one generation. Wayne sits here, that's the second generation. Daniel Samuel sits there, that's the third generation. Now Mr. Lincoln is there. His name is Lincoln, I call him Mr. Lincoln. I thought, four generations sitting right on the front seat at men's prayer meeting. Amen. Well, how much it means to the Lord the same way. So let's look back again at our text, if we could do that in Matthew. And if we get to verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, Now, the first thing they did was not give gifts, which we all want first. We're there to rip and tear paper, see what's going on. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down. And what's next? They worshiped. Do you have trouble finding the right gift for your friends and your family? That drives me crazy. I'd rather just give my wife the money and tell her to go do something with it. And most of the time after I get finally, I can't figure it out, then that's exactly, you know, what I do. But what if you knew exactly what Jesus wanted? Would you do it? I'm checking with you to be thinking about it. So in John chapter 4, and I can read it for you if you want to look at it for yourself. That'll be fine too. Or I could say it this way, what do you buy the man that has everything or could have everything? And I've known some people like that as far as money goes. What do you buy the person that has everything? You buy him what he wants. Does that sound okay? And you say, but I don't have the money. And sometimes that is a problem every now and then, isn't it? So we are in verse 23 of John chapter 4. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. And here we are. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. You want to know what he wants? Can you read it? He wants our worship. How dumb am I? Even when I was a kid, and I got saved when I was 14, and I'm telling you, I just didn't see this clear till somewhere around 35 years ago. I didn't write down the date to do that. So it kind of changed the hearty Christmas time, which we will have on Tuesday night, because my second grandson's a music director in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and he had to be there today. So they come over to the house, and then we have them read the Bible story. It's not as much fun as it used to be when they were 6 and 7 and 8, but I love to see them stumble through this. I remember Daniel's the oldest, and he already had it down. He could read those verses good. This is just, to me, it's a sweet memory to me. And Samuel was probably, at that time, maybe about 6 or 7. I said, Samuel, what do you want for Christmas, buddy? And I couldn't believe his answer. He said, Papa, I'm hoping I can read part of the Christmas story. I thought, that's great. So obviously now they're both in the ministry and graduates of Heartland, and Emily's still got a semester left and so forth. So now we all gather and we have them read that Christmas story. I never get tired of hearing about it. And then before we open gifts, would you like the wise men? And so we're going to give him his gift first. We're going to worship. Now, do you know that Baptists don't really know anything about worship hardly? Not intentionally. You know, it's kind of when I was growing up, I went to Baptist church and I was saved at 14. I was going to an independent Baptist church, small church, and that's Sunday school at 9:45. I used to wonder for years, why is it not just 10 o'clock? Well, if you're going to get Baptists here at 10 o'clock, you tell them 9:45. You know how that works. And then after that, at 10:45 or whatever, was the main worship service. So when the Lord was dealing with me one time, I said, Lord, I've been worshiping. I mean, you just check the signs on those churches. Yeah, okay, son, what you do was any different on Sunday mornings you did Sunday night. I said, why do you have to ask stuff like that? But worship is a voluntarily bowing by one person in order to exalt another. Both Hebrew and Greek, it means on your face. Now, that'll be too expensive for some people, because we are a proud bunch. If what he went through, what he said, what I'd really like to know is that you love me. And I'm special to you. Fact is, I think that's one of the most comfortable places on earth, is on my knees and saying, Lord, isn't it true we don't really have anything worth giving to Him? Then why not just what He wants? And that's Christmas for us, and it became very special. Sometimes I can hear a little sniffling and so forth when that's going on. And so here we are. And it's Christmas Day. It doesn't happen very often on Sunday. What is another 11 years or something like that before it comes again? But that's great for the people of God. So we'll have an invitation here just in a moment, because if there's anybody here that doesn't know for sure that heaven's your home, you need to take care of that. That'll be a gift for you and for Him, because He's already paid the price for that. But then I won't suggest to you, just think about it. It's totally up to you, because He doesn't want worship. We don't want to give. Now, I don't want to stay on this very long. But when I see crowds of Muslims, you know what they're doing? Do you? What does it look like? Just rows of them on their face? It's too bad we don't have someone important enough to do that for. You know what is my heart? To think about that. And then knowing at the same time that God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. I'm not claiming to be humble. I want to be more humble, if I can be. And I'm going to tell you, none of us have too much grace. This place right here on your knees is the filling station for grace. It's kind of like taking that car down there someplace, but right at God's altar, humble yourself and say, Lord, I could use a fill-up, you know, with that grace. He's not short on it. It says right there in James, what, chapter 4 and verse 6, He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resists. Can you imagine trying to get through life and God's doing this? I don't use bad grammar, but sometimes with Okies, maybe it'll work up here too, you know, with hillbillies. You ain't going nowhere if God does that. And He doesn't want to. He wants us to do well. Well, let's all stand to our feet. And again, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, we have an invitation, a great time to do that. But maybe now, when you're seated or whenever, you go home, you come front, you do what you want. It's total, and He doesn't want what you don't want to do. He doesn't want that. But if you don't need to come and talk to the Lord about being saved, then maybe you could give Him His gifts. The wise men go all the way back to Daniel and maybe past that. They're called the Magi. And all three of those wise men, before they did anything else, bowed before the Christ child. I would hope to be as wise as them. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Berean Baptist Church, Pastor Abels and the staff and his family and their commitment to the Word of God. The Bible is almost a written version of who You are, because it's Your Word, it's Your Logos. It's always such a privilege to come here, just to sit in the auditorium or whatever. Fellowship meetings over the years have been so good. And I sense a spirit here primarily of people that really are serious about serving You. And they want to treat You like they would their own father, if not better. And so this morning, again, if anyone doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, that when if they don't come now, if they would, after the service, we're dismissed, there'll be several of us around, be glad to take the Bible. We want to thank You, Heavenly Father, for sending the Lord Jesus. And thank You for sending people like the wise men and the shepherds, so that we have a record of this great occasion. And if there's something else we can give You, and I think about that song some people sing, Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can do? And here it is. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
As Brother Brian begins to sing, the invitation is certainly twofold. Number one, salvation. Number two, worship.